product line, you're going to be plugged in to all these resources that will keep feeding you information on how to build a diverse and rich product line. And you're going to become an expert. You're going to meet with other retailers. You're going to meet with wholesalers. You're going to establish relationships with suppliers that will help you expand your product line. So the more you get into it, the more experience you have, and the easier that it's going to be for you to build a diverse product line years down the road. But it all starts with putting serious thought into building your product line and using these steps that we talked about tonight. And with that, we're going to go ahead and move to our question and answer period. If you have a question about tonight's class, please send it to info@whatdoisell.com. And one question per email, please. We've got a few questions already here. And if you just go ahead and send info@whatdoisell.com, put question in the teleclass subject, or question in the subject of the email. So I'm trying to read here and talk at the same time. And we'll go ahead and get these questions answered. Okay, the first question that we have comes tonight from Jason. And Jason has some questions about, let's see, Lisa, you mentioned the travel goods industry. What types of products would make up an industry such as travel goods? Well, there's a variety of different things, Jason. Here's some examples. So, luggage obviously would be a huge component to the travel goods industry. And luggage, in the latest article that I read, is just, again, kind of like laptop cases, gone from basic black to all sorts of colors and styles. Now, interestingly enough, I read that even that women make the most purchases for luggage in the travel industry. They're the biggest influencers in the family. So they're going for more style, more fashion. Some of the other products would be backpacks, for example, carry-on bags, bigger pieces of luggage for longer trips, specialized carriers. So now when people travel, they're taking all sorts of things. They're taking their bicycles. They're taking their pets. They're taking their golf clubs. That's actually a big one, is travel carriers for golfers is a big one. They're taking carriers for musical instruments. So as you can see, you can branch out into a lot of different areas. The travel goods industry would also include things like comfort products. So products that make you more comfortable on the airplane, lightweight blankets or neck support. Another thing would be different kinds of bags and components that will go in your suitcase. The travel goods industry is really interesting because it has such a diverse group of customers. You're going to have men, you're going to have women, you have travel goods for kids. There's a whole line of products that are now emerging that are travel kits for kids, activity kits. So you can go in a wide variety of directions in the travel kit industry. There's another, you know, just here's another example that came to mind, is that people who are traveling to Europe are looking for, they want to take their cell phone to Europe, but American cell phones don't work. There are specific cell phones that could be used only in Europe. So there's a wide variety. There's converters. If you want to take your blow dryer to Europe, you're going to need a currency converter to convert the electrical current. So there's a wide range of things that you can do when it comes to travel accessories and to the travel niche. And by looking at travel magazines, there's tons of travel magazines based on newsstands that you can check out, the variety of different travel magazines that will have advertisements. I just want to say a word about catalogs and advertisements. If you guys are looking for some interesting products in a product line, take a look at catalogs, take a look at advertisements. We see on average 3,000 advertisements a day. Within those, for people who are looking to build a product line, are many, many gems of information. Okay, let's go ahead and move on to our next question here. We have a question from Angela. And Angela wants, okay, great question, Angela. Can you talk more about the product sourcing notebook and how I use it? I'm a new member to WhatDoIsell.com. Well, Angela, welcome to WhatDoIsell.com. The product sourcing notebook is extremely important, and you'll find an article about that in the 10-step product selection system at WhatDoIsell.com. What your product sourcing notebook is basically a notebook or a PDA, if you want to go the electronic format, that you carry with you on a regular basis. And every time you come across an article about a potential niche or a potential product or information on a customer profile, you jot that down into your product sourcing notebook. So, Angela, the studies show that of all the information that comes into our head, we'll lose 90% of it unless we write it down. So that means that if you lose 90%, you're left trying to build a business on 10% of the information that you gain. You don't want to lose 90% of your valuable information. So when you are out and about, when you're out shopping or you're reading an article about a particular product line or you're looking at information about a niche, you want to write that information down in your product sourcing notebook, because then you're going to be able to go back and do your research on these different products and on these different niches. But you've got to get it down on paper so you can use it as a reference. Great question. Okay, let's see. I have a question from Claire here. Lisa, you keep... Okay, question from Claire is, you talk a lot about opening an eBay store. I'm just in the process of opening my eBay store, but I wasn't sure if it was the right time, and I'm not quite ready to build my niche yet. Should I open an eBay store? The answer in a word is absolutely. From the beginning, opening an eBay store is an extremely important step, even if you're just getting started. Now, an eBay store, think of it this way. Without an eBay store, you put up a listing, and your listing is up for a day, 3 days, 5 days, 7 days. Your customer finds your product. They like it. They buy it from you. And then a week later, they want to come back and they want to see what your other products are, only they happen to hit it when you don't have any listings up. Maybe you took a break and you didn't list products for a day, and they can't find you. They just, it's not easy for them to find any listings. They have no place to go. With an eBay store, that's your home base. That's your storefront. That's where your customer can come back time and time again. It's the difference between basically selling out of the back of your station wagon and going from street to street, or having a store where customers can come to you. Without an eBay store, even a basic level eBay store, you cannot compete effectively in today's eBay marketplace. Now, basic level store is $15.95 a month, and we have teleclass at WhatDoIsell.com that teaches you how to set up your eBay store and how to sell products out of your eBay store. But without a basic level eBay store, you don't really have a presence on eBay. You've got to have a place where you can stock your virtual shelves with merchandise. Your eBay store, once it's set up correctly, is going to get you visibility in all of the major search engines. eBay has incorporated a ton of marketing and advertising tools into eBay stores that are going to help you reach out to your customers and sell your products. So even if you're just stocking your store, maybe you just have a few items that you keep stocked on a regular basis, you've got to open your doors. You've got to establish your presence. And the only way that you can really solidly do that is with an eBay store. So if, for those of you on the class tonight who haven't opened an eBay store, absolutely want to do that as soon as possible. Okay, let's see. Let's go ahead and take another question here. A lot of great questions tonight. Okay, we have a question from Karen. And Karen wants to know, I really like the example of the camping niche. How do I tell if that is a niche that is already filled on eBay, or if it's one that I should pursue? Well, determining whether or not your niche has potential for growth is a very important step in deciding whether or not to pursue it. Now, when you're doing your research, Karen, online, on Google, in magazines, in newspapers, what you want to look for is articles that talk about growth trends. So let's say, let's use the example of the pet market. So I just read an article that said that the pet market is a $38 billion market and growing. I just read another article about babies, infants, how the infant market is a multi-billion dollar product market and growing. I just read an article about the camping niche that you're interested in and how the camping niche is also a multi-billion dollar market and is attracting more and more people to it all the time, and it's becoming more and more sophisticated. And if you look at stores such as REI, which is actually a Seattle-based store, they have expanded immensely over the years, and all the articles on camping have talked about how camping is becoming so popular that literally people are running out of campgrounds. Well, that is not an issue that we can deal with, obviously, selling on eBay, but the point of the fact is that you're looking for articles that talk about, is there growth in this niche, or is it dwindling? So if you started to read articles about camping and you started to see that people were shying away from camping because they are in favor of taking plane trips and going to the Bahamas or Hawaii, or people just don't like to camp anymore, it's not popular. When you start reading articles like that, you know that you're on the downside of a trend. But when you start researching it and reading articles where they're stating numbers about the growth and about new groups of people who are camping or people who are, strong industry and it's getting more sophisticated, people are going to buy more products, that is something to take note of. So look in your articles, see what the trending information says, look in the magazines, see what the trending information is. You know, the example of women's golf, a brand new magazine for women's golf, that tells you that it is a growing trend. All the articles tell you that it's a growing trend. So when you are looking on eBay specifically to determine whether or not your niche is saturated, you first take into consideration if it's a trend. If it is, you start looking on eBay at what products are not being sold there, what markets are not being served, and then you do more research to go out there and find those unique products that other people are not selling. And that's how you determine whether or not to continue with building your product line. Okay. Let's see. Okay, we have a question here. The question is there a way that I can put a notice in my storefront that I'm going to a trade show related to my niche and ask customers if they are looking for particular products that they would like me to add to my inventory? Excellent thinking. All right, I love it. Okay, so this is great because I'm sorry I don't have a name here. So I don't know who I'm speaking or addressing this question to, but this question is really good because it gets back to the asking your customers what they want. So all of you in your eBay stores have 5 customizable pages. Most people don't use them. Most people use the pages to list their products, which is your storefront, and they set up their categories. But what you can do when you go into Seller Managed Store, and I don't have it pulled up in front of me, so I can't tell you the specific links. And you can also go to the eBay help file, which will tell you how to edit your customizable pages. But your customizable pages are like a separate web page. And you could take one of those customizable pages, which you can then put a link in your eBay store, and that